and welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And as always, the Grace Hour is broadcast live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us for the broadcast today. And we hope that you'll stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so as we continue our discussion all week long here in the Grace Hour about a theme that is dominating the news these days, ever since the reversal of the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade some months ago. And, of course, the controversy continues to rage about the subject of abortion. And today we'll focus on this part of this theme and subject. Are all lives valuable to God? I think just asking the question in the hearts of believers, we immediately respond by thinking, well, of course they do. But obviously in some people's minds, that is not the case. So we will talk about this subject together with you and invite you to join us. Phone lines will be open during the entire broadcast. So pick up that phone if you'd like to. And again, we would ask you to stay on topic today. The telephone numbers are as follows. Toll free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And again, thanks so much for joining us for the broadcast today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, don't forget about tomorrow's final program that we'll broadcast on this week on this theme. That'll be coming up in a little less than 24 hours from now. Chat will be available to those of you that would like to weigh in and share your thoughts that way. You can even ask your question that way as well. And as we mentioned a moment ago, the phone lines will, of course, remain open during the entire broadcast today. Some quick thoughts. By the way, my name is Pastor John Love. Joining us today, Pastor Tom Schaller. So we're ready to get the broadcast started, and we'll do so by just bringing a number of facts to your attention as our listeners. Every 30 seconds, an abortion takes place. Another statistic, 73.8% of women who have ended a pregnancy say they were not sufficiently informed about their options beforehand. More than 4 in 10 women were attending a Christian church at least once a month when they had their first abortion. And 52% of churchgoers who have had an abortion say that no one at church even knows about it. These are rather stunning, shocking statistics, Pastor Schaller, but it just shows you how this whole theme and subject of abortion has impacted our nation, our culture, and even the church. It's incredible when you stop and think about it.
Well, I think one comment is from 2 Timothy 3, where we read about the culture of the day. Paul had a prophecy about the end times and said that that dangerous times would come, and then he gives a list of 19 words there that characterize the time. One of them is that we are lovers of ourselves. So having a child is really it's putting pressure on the mother to, I guess pressure isn't the best word, but an awareness of responsibility. And that I have a responsibility not only for my own body, but I have a responsibility for the body of another. A child is in my womb. That's the nature of, that's a God-given, arrangement. That's the way it is. And for the mother to say, you know, this is my body, I don't want this child, of course, this can be said, but we have to raise, is it ethical? Does she have a right to do that? And what does she feel about it as a mother? And I think in the statistics you gave, there were 73% of women who have ended a pregnancy say they were not sufficiently informed about it. So that's a lot of people. That's 3 out of 4 and they say they don't feel right about it. They don't feel they had enough information. And we know that the sonograms, when the mother sees the fetus or hears the heartbeat, and they realize that this is really a child that is being formed in their womb, then they take the responsibility. They change their mind and they want to bear the child and have the child. And so I'm amazed at how fierce and vicious and kind of, well, ferocious the pro-choice group is, and how they are very energized and very angry and very active regarding this issue. And I think nature says that you have the baby. Nature says, and in the history of our, but the culture dominates, culture affects people. And that's something that everybody should look at. Am I doing this because my culture is saying so? Or am I doing it because, I have been thinking about it. I bring it before wise counsel and I make a good decision. Or am I doing it like it says, 3 out of 4 were not informed well enough about what they were doing. And I think that's serious.
It begs the question, why isn't there more counseling available to these women who are considering ending a pregnancy? Why are they not told all the options? I mean, are we talking about something that is a money-making industry here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, again, that falls, you know, perfectly. And who's going to talk about this subject in relationship to that portion of scripture that you just mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Nobody's going to talk about it in the context of what Paul wrote to Timothy regarding that these difficult, very difficult days were going to come where people would be, again, so self-centered, so self-oriented, that the only regard they have is for themselves, how it impacts them, how it impacts my life or my future. And we mentioned yesterday in the broadcast that that's kind of like misplaced compassion. Mm. The compassion is placed on, you know, what about my future? What about my plans? What about the things I wanted to do? Mm. This child is going to interrupt those plans, interrupt my future. Everything could be dramatically changed. And it becomes this idea that it's all about me, that self-centeredness dominates.
Yeah. There's another side to it, and that is a woman is made in such a way that she would have support, that she would have the man, the father, the child with her, counseling, helping, supporting her. And that's where this lands. It's like if you take that support away from a woman, what is she going to do? Feel insecure? I can't raise the child. I can't afford the child. Nobody's there for me. She feels the insecurity, and so she goes in this direction.
Yeah.
But behind that problem is that the woman, you can't blame her for feeling that way, but you can address the bigger issue, and that is, where's the man? Where's the father? It's not made to be this way. You're not to be pregnant outside of wedlock. You're not to be sexually running around and active that way without a commitment, without a man who's going to man up and be there for you. And then when you are pregnant, he is there supporting you and saying, we are bringing up the child. We are raising the child. So the disintegration of the family unit has led to like another part of a crisis, and that is like contrary to nature. Nature is the woman is vulnerable. The woman needs a covering. The woman needs help. The woman needs love. The woman needs advice and direction. And I'm going to be there for you. We will raise this child together. Where is that message?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And what would that do for a woman? You know.
Yeah,
but instead it's this immoral lifestyle, and the pregnancies that come, and then the answer is abortion. Well, really, is it that we would kill the baby and that would be, you know, the end of it? Or is it actually compiling guilt, further insecurity, poor self-image, victimization, failure, loss, you know, all of these feelings that kind of surface in the human heart. Mm.
Again, the context that you've talked about here is just never really discussed, because what we're saying is, you know, a sinful lifestyle reaps a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of corruption. You know, it's that principle that Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, don't be deceived. You know, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Nobody talks about that in terms of abortion. They just talk about rights and, you know, how it's going to impact their future, and this is inconvenient, and I need to put a stop to it. And what's fascinating today, we're hearing a lot about this in the news now across our country, is that because of the Supreme Court decision to overrule Roe v. Wade, now you've got the abortion pill that is made available across the country. And I've heard that some states, before they have a chance to even vote by their constituents on whether or not they want a law to stop abortion or to have abortion available, they're stockpiling these medications. But again, it's all about convenience. It's all about, you know, clearing up my mistakes. Pretty sad situation in our country today. What about this testimony? We were handed this testimony about Tim Tebow. And for those of our listening audience that don't know him, he was a tremendous collegiate athlete, led his college, I think Florida University, to a national championship, was drafted, went into the NFL, made an impact while he was there. And now he continues to make an impact as a very outspoken born-again believer. His testimony is powerful. But listen to his story. He was born just under 7 pounds, malnourished, and his mother, and I guess this was their youngest son, whom she called an answer to prayer. All of this nearly took his life. Against the advice of doctors, Pam Tebow, his mother, held on to her miracle child. She said, quote, "My doctor said that I needed to have an abortion. And she told me that I needed to abort quickly, for my life was in danger. She said I would die, and he wasn't really a baby. He was just a mass of fetal tissue." Well, Pam Tebow and her husband served as missionaries in a remote village in the Philippines during her difficult pregnancy. She recalls the painful days and nights. Little Timmy's survival baffled doctors. And quote, "When my doctor delivered Timmy, he said it was the biggest miracle he had ever been a part of," Pam Tebow said. "He had never seen anything like it, and he couldn't explain it. There was just a tiny piece of placenta that was attached to him, and he said there was no explanation for how he survived all of those months in the womb." Tim Tebow, again, would grow up and become the largest of Pam's 5 children and the most recognized. A star football player at the University of Florida in the year 2007, he went on to win a Heisman Trophy, which pushed him into the national spotlight. A pro athlete from football to baseball, Pam Tebow's Timmy managed to never fumble when it came to his clean image as a positive role model. "All of us have platforms of some sort," Pam Tebow said. "Some are large and some are small. I just felt we needed to encourage our kids while they were young that whatever they do, they need to use it as an opportunity to impact the lives of people around them." Imagine there would be no Tim Tebow testimony today if she listened to those doctors and made that decision.
Yeah. Wow. What a story. Yeah.
And he continues to impact hundreds of thousands of people's lives in his, it's a multifaceted ministry that he has, whether it's to athletes or on national television, on these sports programs, and then in the communities in which he lives and ministers. He's just a unique individual. And just when you hear his story, because, you know, when you listen to her testimony, you could just imagine some people saying, well, if this child is just a mass of fetal tissue and he's not going to be a human being, then maybe I should go ahead and go through with the abortion. But she apparently was listening to another voice, God's voice.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about, let's say, an 18-year-old girl and makes a mistake and then is pregnant, and her parents are against her carrying the baby, and the easy thing to go get an abortion. So what advice would you give her if you were to counsel her, Pastor Love?
I would say, listen, you got to look at all of the options. And of course, we would say that that life that you're carrying in your womb is valuable. And God knows that child. And God knew that child before he was even conceived in your womb. And you would be making a terrible mistake, a tragic mistake, by eliminating that life without giving that person an opportunity to come into this world to find out if they're going to be, you know, the next Tim Tebow, or they're going to be the next physician that has a cure for cancer, or the next author, or the next great musician that was gifted by God to, you know, bring joy and so much more into this world. I mean, I would counsel them to say, think this through. This is a decision that's going to impact a life that has no voice, and it's going to impact your life as well. Because we mentioned yesterday in the broadcast, what about the guilt? What about the shame that a mother carries, in many cases through a lifetime, because they made that decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the woman, 18-year-old woman, has the baby, she's going to be connected to the baby and love the baby. But she can also give the baby up for adoption.
There you go. That's an option.
And she might say, you know, this was a mistake. I'm sorry for what happened, and here I am. And so 9 months, I mean, is there morning sickness? Yeah, maybe. Maybe there is. Maybe not. Your body changes. You're pregnant. You're bringing a child into. But is my body that important to me that I could not bear the child, you know, for the 9 months, give birth to the child, and then give the child up for adoption? If I cannot afford it, the society is wealthy enough, and there are enough systems in place that that child will survive, that child will live, and also maybe be placed in a home with a family that is very hungry to have to adopt a child. They're very much, there's a lot of families that would like to adopt a child. And here we are in a very wealthy country, the United States of America, and there are systems in place, there are Catholic churches, there are other social services, I would imagine, that are there and available. So why not have the child?
Yeah, amen. That's a great option. There's always an avenue of opportunity when you turn to God, so that you don't have to make that tragic decision.
And if you want to keep the child for yourself, then that's fine too, because there you may get married one day, and the man that is marrying you is taking on the child,
yeah,
and you have a family.
That's right. And I think that we all know families, couples, the situation that you just described has happened. And some of them, they're in our church today, and they're happily married, and they have healthy, sound families. And what a blessing that is, you know, because I think people fail to realize that even if you make terrible mistakes in life, that God's grace is greater than the mistakes that we can make. And I think if you lose sight of that, then you might feel trapped and you might feel like you have no other option. But, you know, when God is in the equation, that changes everything.
Now, there are organizations. There is the Gabriel Network. There is Save the Storks. My daughter-in-law is involved in that. And that ministry, there are different, there are pregnancy centers, there are places where women go to get an ultrasound, and there's counsel available and resources available for women to bear the child. I guess the primary point in Psalm 139 is that God has ordained for us to have all of our parts are written in a book.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, too, for our listeners to realize that, you know, there are other options. Sometimes if you go to an abortion clinic, they're not going to talk about other options, as you just mentioned. But there are other options, and you have to, again, make an informed decision before you move in that one direction, because you're not going to hear about these other options. Mm. And it's important to look at them, consider them, because, again, God has a provision for all of us.
Sometimes the easy thing is what people do. They do the easy thing, and that we should, when it's easy, we should stop and take a look at that and think about it.
Yeah. I mean, the easy things don't necessarily create character in our lives that will produce endurance for whatever may come into our lives. We should do the hard things.
Sometimes.
Yeah, nobody likes to hear that, but the fact of the matter is, you know, how many times do we hear people make this statement, you know, when you ask them, wow, that was a difficult, how did you get through that? I learned the hard way. Nobody ever says, I learned the easy way. Everybody says, I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
The hard way, I think, is maybe sometimes the best way, the right way, because of what happens not only to the situation, but what happens to you.
Mm.
That's what creates kind of like the iron in our souls that allows us to endure whatever difficulties might lie ahead of us. Well, we're going to be joined, I believe, in a couple of minutes by a good friend of ours who's in our ministry, Dan Miller, and he has been involved in counseling young women who find themselves pregnant, perhaps unmarried and facing difficult decisions in life. So we're waiting for him to join us live on the broadcast. I think he has a lot of understanding, a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom about what we're talking about today. But one of the questions that is posed, and we hear this a lot, is there any circumstance in which it would be okay for someone to abort their child?
Hmm. What do you think of that?
I think it's a very difficult question, and I feel inadequate to even try to answer it, because I can't even imagine all of the circumstances that would be involved. But I just think that if someone is faced with that kind of decision, that they've got to really go before God. Because, for instance, when we hear about someone that is physically attacked, raped, and then they find out after this assault that they're pregnant with a child. Now, some would say there's grounds and justification for having an abortion. And yet we have heard the testimonies of some who have gone ahead and had the child. And the stories have been miraculous, profound, even glorifying God in many cases. So I'm hesitant to want to say, yes, here's the one exception.
Mm-hmm.
The rule is no, never. But I mean, I just feel rather uninformed. I don't know what your thoughts are about it.
No, I agree. I agree. I think it's a life. There's some objectivity there you have to look at from a biblical point of view. God allowed it. It's sad. It's bad. It's evil. It's wicked. At the same time, there is life there in the womb, and made in God's image. And that's how I would look at it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, as we mentioned a moment ago, our friend Dan Miller, who has, well, he's got a lot of understanding about what we're talking about today. He's joining us live in the Grace Hour. And Dan, before we begin our discussion together, maybe you could inform our listeners a little bit about your background and what you've been doing in counseling and helping young mothers, you know, decide to have their children rather than to choose the other option.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
All right. Wonderful. So I am a director of our church-based ministry for an organization called Gabriel Network, and we are a pro-life ministry who serves women who call us who are pregnant, who are in need, who are in crisis, and they need help. And my position is to help match these mothers with churches. We believe ultimately it is the church who can best serve these women. And we want to serve them in a practical way. We want to invite them into our community. We want to love on them. But ultimately, we want to show them Christ. And that is the ultimate goal. And so there's obviously the part of saving a baby's life, but it's also about saving their eternal lives when it comes to the mother and the child. And so our entire ministry is focused on this particular audience of pregnant women. And, you know, our goal obviously is very unapologetically pro-life. And so I've been involved in the organization for several years now, and we have seen significant growth, and which has been wonderful. And we, in my time here, we have had multiple stories of women who had abortions planned or scheduled, or were right on the brink of going to have an abortion. And through our churches, through our ministry, we're able to not only help the mother, but also save the child's life. And in many cases, also allow these women to come to an understanding of who Christ is and being now invested in churches, which is wonderful.
Wow. Dan, can you tell us a story where a woman in a crisis, like what kind of crisis was that? What decisions she had to deal with, can be confronted, making a decision to have the baby, and then what resources came along to help support her and come alongside? Because as we said earlier in the program, sometimes these women find themselves confronting the question, should I have an abortion or not? And there's not a man in her life saying, yes, have the baby. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will be your husband, or I will be there for you. I will support you. We will have the baby. Can you tell us a little bit about how the woman in crisis really has a lot of issues that they have to struggle with?
Yeah, we track a lot of the reasons why women are calling us as an organization. Obviously, there's a lot of different resources out there. Planned Parenthood even has resources for why women are having an abortion. And so we study those reasons. We look at it. And, you know, the number one trend, you know, and a lot of people think, you know, women who are having abortion are minors, you know, under the age of 20, you know, the teenagers or their college kids, you know, and, you know, they had, you know, just casual sex, got pregnant. They decided not to have the baby. Their parents are going to kick them out if they don't do it. And that is actually not the norm. You know, when it comes to women's age, you know, 20 to 30 is the number one age group. 30 to 40 is the number two age group. Teens is actually the third age group. And so, and then when it comes to marital status, significant other, biological father in the picture, you know, it's not as uncommon for women to not have the bio father in the picture, or to have a husband, or have a committed boyfriend in their relationship. But a lot of the needs that they're facing often have to do with housing, often have to do with financial struggles that they're having. But the majority of women who are having abortions is more of a life choice. It is a choice whether their life and their lifestyle they want to maintain, and having a child is going to interrupt that. That is what the studies are showing. But in our situation, you know, specifically that you're asking, a lot of women are faced with situations where they are living out of a car. They don't have a job. They don't have family support. And so they don't know what to do. and they feel like they are at a bridge where they need to cross over, and they don't know if they can't cross over, their only option in their understanding and in their mind and what the world is telling them is that they need to abort this baby. And we have women who are in this situation. A mom that we served about a year ago called us. Now, she did have a boyfriend in the picture, but her and her boyfriend were living in a car in Baltimore. They had no job. They had no family. She grew up in the foster care system, and so she didn't have anybody to really reach out to or to lean on. And so she called us out of desperation and was looking to have an abortion, but she thought, this is my last effort to try to see if anything can work. And so she called us. She had no children. It was just her and her boyfriend. She was about maybe, 5 months pregnant. So she called us. We got her partnered with one of our churches. The church immediately reached out to her. And what they did is they just said, okay, let's help you get into a shelter. So the first thing that they did is they got her into a shelter. Now, that was a big obstacle for her and her boyfriend, but that was a number one thing where she felt like, okay, I at least now have a place to lie my head before we go into winter. And so she did that. They then went out and they started meeting with her, taking her and her boyfriend out to lunch. They got to know him a little bit better. They were still struggling with the option of an abortion. And in the state of Maryland, you can have abortion all the way up to pregnancy or up to birth. And so abortion is a very actual thing, an option in Maryland particularly. And so being aware that, they just started meeting her, loving her, trying to give her, some clothes. They went thrift store shopping with her. They got her some clothes for the winter. They invited her to their church. So she ended up going, her and her boyfriend, they paid for a bus fare for her to come to the church. She comes to the church. They sit in the church of a wonderful church that teaches the Bible well. At that church, both the mother and her boyfriend get saved.
Yes.
Now they're saved. They continue going to the church, but at the shelter, they ended up having a case manager that they then invited to the church with them. The case manager comes to the church, hears the gospel. She now gets saved. So now they have three people who are saved. The baby is there, like 7 months pregnant. The boyfriend goes to the pastor and says, you know what? We've been here now for several months. We're hearing what you guys are saying. We're starting to get this whole God thing. And I'm starting to feel like we are doing this wrong in what God wants us to do. So we want to get married because we don't want to bring this child into a not biblical or God set, like the way he set up marriage. So can we get married? And the pastor's like, yeah, absolutely. We just got to get some paperwork. He's like, I already went to the courthouse. He's like, what are you doing on Tuesday? So the pastor said, okay, well, I guess we're going to do a wedding on Tuesday. So they did a wedding on Tuesday. The church that was serving the mom, a bunch of them showed up, took off work. They had a wonderful little ceremony. They did they paid for them to go out to eat to Olive Garden, and they enjoyed that. Now, part of the issue was, and again, abortion was still on their mind, but they helped the bio father get a job. They're now married. So part of the reason that the woman was thinking, I need to have an abortion, is because I am afraid to bring in this child into the world because I don't know how to mother. I've never had a mother in my life. I've never seen it. And I don't want to bring a child in and go through the same life that I had. And she felt ill-equipped. And she thought the best thing for her to do for her child was to not have this child come into a world where she couldn't take care of it. So what the church did is they invited her into the nursery. And she sat in the nursery with these older women who taught her how to change diapers, how to make a bottle, how to comfort a baby. And by doing that, the woman ended up deciding to have the baby because now she felt like she had the tools, she had the resources, she had a support system. And right before they had the baby, both the mother, the father, and the case manager all got baptized at the church. And they end up having the child. Now, when they first called us, they were looking to have an abortion for multiple reasons. They didn't have a house. They didn't have a job. They didn't know how to parent. And they didn't have a community. And I would say they didn't know who Christ was. They didn't understand the importance of this baby, of the child, of their purpose of being parents. And so them going to a church and getting involved. And this was just like a year ago that this happened. And, you know, we have had a mom at our church that we're serving who, she found out she was pregnant. Her best friend made an appointment for Planned Parenthood to have an abortion. We reached out to her the day before the appointment was scheduled. And her friend said, hey, I'm going to be there. I'm going to pick you up. Everything's good. They're planning on going to have a Planned Parenthood to have an abortion. One of our women at our church reached out to the mother. The mother decided, after talking to us and being encouraged and understanding how much God loves her and loves her baby and how God has a plan for her, she decided not to go through with that abortion.
Wow. Wow.
Those are good stories.
Oh, my. Those are amazing stories.
So
that's amazing. Thank you. That's so good.
Question, Dan, is like, how do you circulate like your information? Like, I mean, you know, obviously the information about an organization like yours that would help, you know, help more of these stories to happen. Like, how do you get the word out with that? You know, because you can go to a, you can go to a news organization and it doesn't sound like they're going to be very sympathetic to this, this process that you're introducing people to.
Well, and ironically, it's not as hard. And I'll say this, a lot of times abortion becomes a political platform that people want to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a political issue. This is a religious salvation issue in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But from a political perspective, we don't get a lot of pushback from pro-choicers. And the reason we don't is because a pro-choice individual says, we believe the mother should have a choice to carry the baby or not. These women are calling us and saying, you know what, I am calling. I want to try to make this work. And we, as an organization, are saying, okay, you are last-ditch effort a lot of times, wanting this to work. We are here to help you make this work. And pro-choicers do not have an issue with us serving a mother who is wanting to choose to carry a baby. Now, obviously, as an organization, we see this as a much bigger picture. It is about salvation. It is about showing Christ. Hmm. It is about hitting people at their lowest point sometimes and finding them often in the mud, in the dirt, in the sewer, and saying, you know what, we are here to love you, to show you Christ. And we believe through a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit can be the one to change your view on what abortion is, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I cannot argue someone into believing abortion is wrong. What I can do, though, is we can bring people to Christ and allow them through the Holy Spirit to change their heart, to change their mind. And that's how I believe you make the biggest impact on these individuals. And when I go out and I talk to churches and I talk to pastors and I talk to individuals and I do conferences, those, that is the emphasis. It is about Christ. It is about these women coming to an understanding of who Christ is, because Christ is the one who changes our views as husbands in marriage, or changes our views on addictions and drugs. It is the Holy Spirit who takes our heart and our understanding that is stuck in a carnal, evil world and changes it to be more centered on who he is and his heart and his desire. And so, you know, I believe getting the word out there is really just, there's obviously, are you pro-life? But also, you know, do you want to, these women who are saying, I want to carry a baby, I'm hoping they want to do this, are you there to support them or not? Mm-hmm. Or are you just there to tell them, here's a pamphlet for Planned Parenthood? Because to me, if a woman's saying, I want this, I want to try to make this work, you don't go the opposite approach if you are choosing a political platform.
Yeah, so I think that's a good, what you're saying there is like, this is a hard issue, and particularly to people in the state of Maryland, which since 1992 has had this law on the books. 63% of the electorate voted in favor of allowing this process to be available. So you're like saying, like, so governmentally in Maryland, this is not, you know, to try and power up a political movement that would change the dynamic is an uphill climb, but ministering to a person's heart after heart is what you, what I see, what, that's what I'm hearing you say.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's where you meet people at the heart level, and which could cover a number of things, all of these issues that we're sort of facing related to gender, family dynamics, easy divorce, and then, of course, easy abortion is our heart issues, and you meet them where they're at, trying to get people to see the value, correct?
Right, correct.
Yeah.
And understanding why people are actually having abortions, you know, and I kind of had to hop in a little bit late, but I heard the tail end of what you were saying. You know, the majority, and this is coming straight from Planned Parenthood, you know, who's advocating for abortions. The majority of abortions have nothing to do with the health of the baby or the health of the mother.
Hmm.
When you hear this thing about health of a mother, it is about 2% of all abortions. And 90% of them have to do with the mother being on drugs, smoking, or alcohol. Mm. It is not even a life issue. It is a choice issue that the mother is making. So this, you know, 0.5, 0.1% kind of range over the last 10 years of the mother having to so-called have an abortion for the sake of their, you know, their own life, or their own health. And they're very careful. They don't say life, they say their health. And it's because they are smoking, drinking, on pot, doing other, you know, recreational or harder drugs, and they don't want to stop that. And the life of the baby is at risk because the mother's on cocaine. So when you dig below the numbers and you dig behind what's really going on, this whole life of the mother actually being in jeopardy is so, so rare. The majority of it, and I think this is where I've had many conversations with people who are pro-choice. You want to talk about this one out of a thousand situation, fine. Let's talk about the 999, though, first. Because the 999 is about a mother's choice to not change her lifestyle, and not feeling she has the resources to support the baby. She doesn't have a community. She doesn't have tangible resources are the main reasons that women are having abortion. And what people don't realize in the church is that 40%, and this is coming from Christian organizations, 40% of women in the church today have been directly affected by an abortion, which means they've either had an abortion or they've had a best friend or family member that they were part of the process of having an abortion. 40% of women in the church have been directly affected by abortion, either themselves or have been involved with a best friend or family member who has had an abortion. And so this whole throw that, you know, that there needs to be an understanding of who our audience is often right in our own pews.
Hmm.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that means the church should be teaching about the sanctity of life. The church should be making it clear what we think and feel about it, what we believe about it, what the Word is saying. Like Jesus in Psalm 22 was in his mother's womb in fellowship with the Father. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb in Galatians 1. So the message in the church should be the sanctity of life, and then lead people to believe that let's do the right thing and we can trust God for the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Wow.
And it's about, and this is the thing I love about our church, is always about your relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's always about salvation. It's always about growing in your faith and diving into the Word and growing closer to Him, because it is the Holy Spirit who will give you the counsel. He's the great comforter. He's the one that will change your heart. He's the one that will change your perspective. He's the one that will allow you to see things through God's eyes and no longer through your flesh, which is sinful and evil and wretched. And so it's always about, you know, too often we want to fight this battle on these hot topics around the world. But the way you really fight these is through people coming to an understanding of who Christ is and growing in their understanding of who he is.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's what changes people from having abortions, which saves families, which protects marriages, which allows, helps us through addictions. It's through our relationship with Christ. And that's what we want to teach. Mm. You mentioned about a lot of verses, you know, Psalm 139, you know, 14 is always the one that everybody uses. You know, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But we never really look at those words, fearfully and wonderfully, because fearfully means reverence, that God was reverence when he created you. He took his time and he made sure he had a purpose and a plan for that child that is in the mother's womb. And he took reverence in creating that child because of having a purpose and a plan for that individual. And when we are, when we understand that as a church, that to me is what, and the world understands that, that is going to be the number one change of understanding that everyone has an individual purpose and was carefully and delicately made by an almighty God, including that baby that's in that child, in the mother's womb.
Wow, that's a great, wow. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for your insight on this. And thanks to Pastor Schaller and Pastor Love had to step out. But we want to thank you for being a part of our program today, our podcast. And Grace Hour is a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Maryland. Feel free to join us. We have church services 9:11 and 6:30 on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. And if you missed any of this podcast, you can see it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And join us for our next show. That'll be tomorrow. We'll be talking more about this great topic, this important topic about life, the sanctity of life. That's what we should call it, right? The sanctity of life, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Thanks for your wisdom, Dan. Pastor Schaller, thank you. Have a great day, everyone.